I'm Ron Elving. The 2018 midterm elections will be one of the year's biggest news stories. The stakes are high, and we're a long way from knowing who will win. But even when the results are in, they'll leave us with questions. Questions about the future of our communities, our states, and our country. You're counting on us to be there with the latest news from Washington and reports from your community to explain what it all means for you, your friends, and your family. All of us here are counting on you, too. The election is months away, but your challenge is now. This is the time to ensure our future as a place for in-depth election coverage, expert analysis, and measured conversation. Become a sustaining member now. It's simple, and when you're done, you can relax because you'll know the election coverage you need will be there for you and your neighbors, too. Thank you from all of us.
And to support WVXU, call 513-419-7155, and thank you for the support. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. The challenges veterans face transitioning from active service to civilian life have become increasingly well-known and a concern for policymakers. What hasn't gotten as much attention are the challenges faced by the more than 2 million women veterans. Today, women make up 9.4% of the total veteran population, but by 2040, that percentage is projected to double. The Veterans Administration and veteran service organizations were designed to and run primarily by men and have been slow to respond to specific needs of women vets. But the VA has now instituted programs designed specifically for women veterans to explore the transition for women vets and the programs available to assist. I am joined now by Women's Veterans Program Manager at the Cincinnati VA Medical Center, Shirley May. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Shirley, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you for having me.
And so was I too harsh there? Has the VA been slow to really recognize the growing number of women who are transitioning out of active service into the veterans ranks and their needs?
I don't think that the VA has not been able to recognize, but yes, I would definitely agree that the VA has been slow with recognizing their needs once they do transition out. It wasn't until just about, I would say about 2010, that we actually recognized that we, you know, were not providing the quality care to women veterans, so that we needed to really up our game and be able to do that and to provide the services that they absolutely and rightfully deserve.
Well, what is it that a woman vet needs from, let's focus on VA at the moment. What does a woman veteran need that maybe men don't need, and what are some specialized situations that they need to have special programs for?
Mm-hmm. Well, for their health care, I mean, the obvious, right? We need OBGYNs. We need to be able—
You don't mean men use those?
No. Well, no. We need to be able to provide mammography services. You know, the women that are using the VA, are average age is about 49 years old. So, you know, we need to explore and be able to provide hormone replacement therapies. And then when you look at the OEF, OIF, our individuals or women veterans that are coming in now, they're
from
younger.
Iraq and
yes, exactly. You know, they're a younger group of veterans. So, you know, they have maternity care services that they need, which a lot of people don't recognize that the VA, we do offer maternity care services for our women veterans.
Well, let's talk about the Cincinnati VA.
Sure.
How long have you had those sorts of services available, OBGYN and the other things that you just outlined there?
Well, fortunately for the Cincinnati VA, we've had them for quite a while. We've, you know, at least 20 years. The issue was is that when a woman veteran would walk in the doors of the VA, we didn't have the services in-house to be able to provide that care. So we would, what we refer to, fee-base them out. And then the woman veteran was on her own to find the care, to be able to maneuver all the bureaucracy that goes with paying the bills. And then there was nobody there to even track the quality of care that she was receiving. So we really had to identify that we needed women's health, a women's health center in the VA. And so in 2012, we actually built and structured a women's health center at the VA, the Cincinnati VA.
Are there differences in the sorts of, not just the strict medical needs, that women vets have that males don't have? In just in terms of the demographics, there's, I don't know, more of this. And
absolutely. That. So women veterans are more likely to be homeless when they – More likely to be homeless than their male counterparts. And really that's emphasized by the fact that when a woman leaves military service, she is more likely to be either a single parent or divorced with young children in tow, and she doesn't have the family resources that would help support her in that transition. So that ultimately could lead to homelessness. She may want to explore using her educational benefits, but because she doesn't have that support system in place, that's not even a possibility. And so, and then a lot of women veterans have a really hard time even trying to articulate or put in their military experience, let's say, into a civilian resume. So all those factors are really facing, you know, that transition out of the military.
Well, to some extent, isn't that true? I mean, the question of employment, that would be true for men as well. How to take what you've done in the military and describe it in a way that's honest, but also translates into the civilian world. That's something that employment services and what you were referencing before, educational services, what's the next step you need to move your life forward? These are really important issues. Otherwise, you can't get started again.
Exactly. And then when you take into consideration, when you're in the military, I always equate it to a cocoon. Everything is decided for you. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live or where you're going to work or where your next move is going to be or even about making doctor's appointments. All of that is kind of taken care of. And then when you get out, all of that is thrusted upon you. And it's a hard adjustment. I know after 17 years of active duty service myself, I had never been to a job interview until I was in my mid-30s. I had been to plenty of boards for promotion, but it's just even getting your head around is something as simple as a job interview.
And you're a nurse by background. Were you a nurse when you were in active service?
No, I wasn't. I was a military policewoman and also a criminal investigator.
So then you went to nursing school, got your RN after that.
After I left the active duty, used my VA benefits and my educational benefits and received my degree in nursing and became a nurse.
And did the VA help you sort of figure out how to make that happen?
No. You know, that's kind of the missing link sometimes there. You have to figure it out on your own. Not that the VA wouldn't have been there for me. I just didn't know what resources were available to me. Case in point, I had no idea about walking into the VA to get my medical services. And so I always say if it could happen to me, it could happen to anybody. It takes, one, you know, women look at sometimes when they get out of the military, they just hang up their uniform and get back to being moms or wives or what have you. And a lot of times because their military service is marginalized, they don't even consider themselves women veterans. So then, therefore, they don't even tap into the services that are available to them. And so that's where we really try to bring that connection, like, hey, we do have the services available to you through the VA. And as well as, you know, when you're looking at the VA, if I need the services, it's a predominantly male population. And so it takes a lot of trust for a woman to walk through those doors to know that the VA is really going to be able to care for them and to provide them the services that they need.
Everybody knows about the problems of PTSD. Is there any, statistically, any difference between men and women in terms of the experience of having to deal with PTSD?
Current studies show that about 1 in 4 women are a victim of military sexual trauma, where 1 in 13 men do experience some level of military sexual trauma. So the factors associated with women are much higher, and that is a lot of the factor is you know the high population of males in comparison to females in the military. But then ultimately that leads to the PTSD and then all of the mental health issues that are associated with that. And it's not uncommon for women as well as men to carry that for up to 20 years before they actually disclose and seek help for that impact that it's had on them.
Does the VA have the mental health services that are needed to respond both to men and women who are experiencing PTSD and the after effects of that?
Absolutely. The VA has done a lot within just the past year to really provide more mental health providers, because we are recognizing that if a woman comes into the VA and said, I was a victim of military sexual trauma, there are no questions asked. They are immediately qualified and eligible for service, regardless of income or even service connection. So we offer that. We provide a courage group, which is a wonderful group that's offered by our military sexual trauma coordinator, Ann Eason, at the VA. And, you know, that's something that we didn't have in the past. And at our Fort Thomas facility, we have one of very few in-resident military sexual trauma programs for women veterans that's headed by Dr. Kate Shard. So we get women from all over the country that come in to go through that 8-week program. And, you know, military sexual trauma and the PTSD associated with it is we really try to teach the veteran or help the veteran to understand that this doesn't define you. Yes, it's something that you experience, but we want to show you how you can go on to have productive lives and to manage the triggers that are associated with that.
Congressman Brad Wenstrup, who is on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and he's also on the Armed Services Committee, this is an area that he really cares about.
Absolutely.
He recently gave an address that I was able to listen to, and he talks about, and he wasn't talking about men and he wasn't distinguishing men and women, but he was saying that veterans, as they make this transition, or active service people, as they make this transition, he says, yes, there's PTSD, but there's this other thing, which he calls post-essential stress, that people have when they're in the military. They have committed to a mission. They have locked in on serving that mission. And all of a sudden, they're out, and they don't quite have direction. And his argument is that the Veterans Administration has to be better at helping people plan that transition early while they're still on active service and begin to thinking about how you're going to cope with no longer having all the housing and food and all that just sort of given, but also what you're going to do with your life.
I would agree. Now, we do have our veteran service centers. You know, we do have the mental health providers. But again, I go back to that cocoon that you're in when you're in the military. And it is. It's a big world out there when you have to transition out. So and I think we are trying to do that through the resources we're offering, just to allow veterans to make that transition a little bit easier, because it is hard.
One of the things is that women who have been in the military maybe have picked up a sense of swagger. They carry themselves differently than they would otherwise. Do women sometimes talk about that they worry that when they're out looking for a job, they're scaring people off because people don't quite know how to deal with a woman veteran?
Somebody who's very confident in their demeanor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting question. I've never had a discussion about that, but from my own personal experience, I can definitely relate to that. You may come off as a little too confident. And because that's that's the behavior, and that's what's required of you as an officer and enlisted person in the military. I mean, you have to hold your own. And so, yeah, I could definitely see. I've had people mention to me, you know, I didn't know quite how to take you when I first met you because you kind of have that hard maybe appearance to you or demeanor. And then they said, but once I got to know you, you know, I realized that my first impression wasn't really who you were. But absolutely, the military does give you that confidence. And I could see where it could be scary for employers. That's why some of the programs we have even here locally with the Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance, they offer storytelling events, which they're going to have a phenomenal event on the 19th, this Saturday, for Military Appreciation Day. And it's to bring and engage the military with the civilian community so that we can and civilian community can understand that those little nuances of military men and women. Absolutely.
So storytelling. Talk a little bit more about the Tri-State Women's Veterans Expo. That's what mm-hmm. it is. It's going to be this Saturday, and it's at the Cincinnati VA Medical Center up in the Clifton area, near University Hospital, Children's Hospital, that whole complex up there. So what's the big umbrella here? What's going to happen at this, and who ought to come?
Well, who ought to come is every woman veteran, regardless of whether you think you're eligible for services or not. We want you to get into the VA and at least enroll so that those benefits are available to you. I hear so many women say, oh, well, I have a great job. I have health care. But you don't know tomorrow you may not have that health care or that great job. And you can always fall in the VA to get your health care services. But it's really about bringing all of the community's resources together so women veterans can explore those and see what's available to them. This is our first ever Women Veterans Expo, and I purposefully wanted to hold it at the VA because I want the women veterans to come in and to feel the VA and to see it. We could have had it at some, you know, offsite location, but I wanted it at the VA because I want women to feel comfortable walking through those doors. And so, you know, in addition to healthcare services, we're looking at community resources. We're looking at veteran-centric resources that are available through different organizations and programs such as the TVCA. We're looking at housing resources and childcare resources and ultimately and definitely educational resources. So it's just a time to bring women in, see what's available to them, and so they can explore that without, you know, any strings attached, but to understand what is available. Because, again, often so many women veterans just don't – they just don't connect with the fact that they do have those benefits and resources available to them as veterans.
We've talked a little bit about medical services, mental health services, some of the employment stuff. Is there something that you think is going on at VA right now that you really want people to know about that you just think gets lost in all of the reporting about VA?
Well, you know, one of the biggest areas that we're emphasizing, and we emphasized it this month during Mother's Day, is our maternity care program. We offer all the services available at the VA. Now, we do have to send the veteran out to get their care through an OB, but we have a lactation consultant that's also on staff at the VA. And so we had a wonderful baby shower event. And in that, we offer in vitro fertilization as well through the VA, which a lot of people don't realize. I mean, that's a great expense for these couples that can't conceive and start a family. So that is something new to the VA that I think has been not really promoted as well as it should. And, you know, I would be happy to talk with any veterans that think that they may be eligible for that and provide the details of getting that care.
Okay. I want to thank Shirley May, who's with the Cincinnati Veterans Medical Center, and remind everybody that the Tri-State Women's Veterans Expo is this Saturday. Information is on our website. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer, Selena Reeder. Technical director, Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, WVXU.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned on 91.7 for Here and Now, coming up next.